name's Ali, and this is the Russ Files Unite podcast, where we watch Russian films and films with a Russian connection. As always, I'm joined by a guest, and today my guest is podcast veteran Lynn.
Hello. Yes, veteran. I like that.
Veteran of this podcast, I should say, rather than podcasts in general.
Although, yeah, that's true.
You have been on at least one other podcast that I'm aware of.
Yes. There may be two other podcasts.
Oh, okay. Possibly.
But I think one was back in a long time ago, and I don't think that's available on the internet anymore.
Fair enough. All right.
But there you go.
Yes.
So
for listeners who haven't caught your previous episodes, which include such films as Stalker,
mm-hmm.
and Window to Paris, and Lady Macbeth, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I don't know much about Russian films, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
We did a bit of Russian history at A-level, I guess. Mm. We did 1903 to 1917.
Okay.
So that was fun. That's my limit of Russian history.
So anything before or after?
Yeah, no idea. I just vaguely remember seeing the Cold War, the Berlin Wall come down on the news.
Yeah,
just about.
Yeah, see, that one, I think like I remember it, but I'm sure I'm just remembering subsequent, like,
re-showings. I feel like I vaguely remember feeling like something important was going on, but not obviously at that age. I was, what, 5, 6 at the time?
Yeah.
Like, having any context as to what it was, like.
Yeah, no, gotcha. yeah, I don't think I remember it from at the time. I do remember the Civil War in former Yugoslavia.
I remember that, yeah.
So that's cheery.
Yeah, that, and I feel like the Rwandan genocide were like the first things I really definitely remember being like, oh, like this is a thing that,
yeah,
I like remember, and it sort of stuck with me.
Yeah.
I guess.
Gosh.
We have taken
a very dark turn, yeah, this early in the podcast, which is funny, really, because today we're actually watching a comedy.
Ooh, this will make a change.
Yes. Yeah, because we have tended to go quite dark on the films we've covered.
But I think so. Apart from Window to Paris, which I guess was a,
yeah,
comedy that wasn't very funny. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
No,
or a comedy where it's about people being quite a difficult situation. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think it described itself as a tragicomedy. Which,
yeah, that feels about right.
But anyway, the film we're watching today is called Ivan Vasilievich Meniait Profesiu, which is Ivan Vasilievich Changes Profession, or Changes Occupation, or Changes,
okay,
Jobs.
Now, I'd never heard of this film before you proposed it to me.
Yeah. It's also got another alternate English translation, which gives a bit more of an idea of what happens in it. It's Ivan Vasilievich Back to the Future.
Okay. Is it a ripoff of Back to the Future?
No, because it was actually filmed in 1973.
Before Back to the Future.
Yeah, so unless they actually had a time machine and went forward to 1985 and stole an idea.
Now, I love Back to the Future, so I'm into this.
Yes.
And Bill and Ted, which another time travel related film.
Yeah, which I think you mentioned on the first episode you appeared on.
I take every opportunity in life to talk about Bill and Ted.
Excellent.
yeah, so also Time Bandits. I'm running out of comedy time travel things.
Yeah, but it is a very, even like outside of comedy, it's a very like thoroughly mined plot device.
Yeah.
And a lot of good films, you know, do have a time travel element.
Now you've told me the alternative translation, I'm changing my opinion of what might be in this film. Because initially when you thought, oh, he changed profession, I'm like, what? He gets fired or something, and then it's like a sort of office comedy where he has to try and find a new job.
Yeah,
it's like about bureaucracy. It's like a comedy about bureaucracy, and he tries to find a new job, but then, you know, he's held up by the Soviet state. And
oh no, that's way too satirical. You can't get away with that.
Okay, yeah, I just thought this was going to be a,
I don't know.
Or
actually,
alternatively, it's set in the West, and it's a satire of how terrible capitalism is.
Yes, that capitalism, it really sucks.
Yeah,
yeah. But no, it's I don't know whether I want to spoil the main
don't
gimmick.
Don't spoil too much.
But yes, so anyway, it's a comedy, and it's actually one in a series of three with the same main character.
Okay.
I think the same director directed all three of these films, which is Leonid Gaidai, I think is his name. But
no idea.
Yeah, not necessarily one that's famous in the West. But the main character is called Shurik, which is an abbreviation of Alexander.
Okay.
I know that doesn't seem that intuitive.
Having read Brothers Karamazov, I still don't understand Russian abbreviations of names.
It takes a little getting used to. But yeah, so the short form of Alexander is Sasha, which then goes even more colloquially. Sasha becomes Shurik. So that's how you get from Alexander to
Shurik. Still
don't
get it, but sure.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. And yeah, so there's a series of three films, and this is the latest of three with this Shurik. He's kind of like this nerdy scientist guy.
Okay.
So yeah, this is the third of his adventures in Soviet cinema. So yes. So I, as I say, I'm not going to give away the main gimmick. No. So I think we should get on with the film.
Sounds good to me.
So what we're going to say is
Paekeli.
Yes.
Yes.
So 3, 2, 1.
Paekeli.
And welcome back. We have just watched Ivan Vasilievich Changes Professions. And Lynn, you're going to give us a quick summary of the plot, if that's all right.
I'm certainly going to try. I'm also going to apologise for any background noise caused by the party that someone's having downstairs, apparently.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Never mind.
Plot summary. So, there's a crazy inventor guy.
Shurik.
Invents a time machine, and as a result of this, ends up having one of his neighbours swap with Ivan the Terrible.
Yep.
Trade places. And then, yeah, hijinks ensue.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much the whole thing. There are other subplots, like his wife leaves him straight away for her director.
Yes, she's like either a pop star or an actress or a pop star actress, a poptress.
Yep.
we'll go with that.
People get arrested. There's a lot of running around.
Yes.
Everything is sped up. There's a cat.
All the ingredients of an amazing film.
All the ingredients of an amazing film. And then it was probably just a dream. Or was it? That's not resolved.
No. It's a bit like Inception in that way.
Yeah, it's just like Inception.
Exactly like
it's
that.
It's exactly like Inception. Why have they not sued Christopher Nolan for making a film that's just exactly the same as this one?
Darn you, Christopher Nolan! Ripping off Soviet comedies.
It was really funny. I wasn't expecting it to be that funny.
No, because Soviet and comedy are not... It's not a common collocation, let's say.
No, I just thought there'd be like occasional bits where I'd be like... But actually, there were a number of moments where I laughed out loud.
LOL.
I lulled. Literally lulled. It was good. It was really enjoyable. I really liked it.
Yeah, I've seen it before, but it was a heck of a long time ago, and I think I watched it without subtitles at a stage where my Russian wasn't good enough to have understood it without subtitles. Yeah. So I remember, the only thing I could remember about it was lots of running.
Yeah, they do go big on the running.
It's quite
physical comedy, a lot of it, bits of it, like zany, almost like silent movie. It's not a silent movie, but that kind of style, running around and...
Yeah, it's very broad, and I don't typically think of, like, broad as the kind of comedy I like. I like stuff that's more dry and sarcastic. But it's one of those things with broad comedy, it's easy to do it badly.
Yeah.
But when it's done really well, like the silent film thing is a good comparison because, yeah, a lot of it is physical and it's just the timing is really superb.
Yeah.
And the performances are, for me, really, really great.
Yeah, all the performances were great, really. And there's bits where, like, they do fancy camera tricks and you kind of see the gaps a bit, which reminded me a little bit of, like, some sort of Monty Python films. or Monty Python bits where you can see the gaps, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Because
that's not the focus of it. It's not being super slick.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, because of the whole premise and the fact that it's a comedy as well, your suspension of disbelief isn't as important as if it was a drama. Yeah. Or like a serious sci-fi or something like that. It's kind of like... I thought in terms of the performances, Yuri Yakovlev, who plays Ivan the Terrible and Ivan Shurik's apartment building manager, I think he's great as both, and the performances are really contrasting.
Yeah, they are. He was very good. Even so much so that at the end, which is one of the few bits where they're both on screen together, both versions of him are on screen together. Yeah, I sort of second-guessed it and was like, I thought this is the same actor all along, but maybe it's not. It turns out it was. Thanks, IMDb. just because they're contrasting enough that it took me a moment to
clock
that it was the same guy doing very different things. Sorry, that sounds like I'm criticising his range. I should have had greater faith in his range.
Well, it's one of those things, though. There are lots of actors who play similar parts again and again, so... Yeah.
But yeah, really enjoyable.
And I thought Leonid Kuravlyov, who is the guy who plays Miroslavsky, who's like a... The
thief guy?
Yes. I thought he was very, very good.
Yeah, I thought he was good too. I think particularly when he's back in the past, somehow seemingly dealing with this a lot better than Ivan, who was dealing with it quite badly.
Yeah, yeah, because Ivan is really like... He just doesn't know what to do because he's a stickler for protocol. And there's this really dumb bit where he's supposed to be signing a document as Ivan the Terrible, but he refuses to, you know, for perhaps laudable moral grounds. but he signs it something like Ivan Bunshar... acting on behalf of the Tsar.
Oh, yeah,
he like, literally signs it as that after much persuading to sign it at all. And yeah, Miroslavsky is basically having to tell him, okay, now do this, right, do that now. Mm. And that sounds like it would be really tedious, but it's played really well.
Yeah, it is played really well. Like, doesn't sort of labour it, but it's just quite funny.
Yeah. And it's super energetic.
Oh yeah, the whole film is super energetic.
Like,
which makes it, like you were saying, with the broad comedy, makes it a lot more watchable. You're not kind of waiting to groan because, like, the film is always constantly moving on to the next bit, and you're like, oh, if you didn't find that bit that funny, like, it doesn't matter because in another 30 seconds, like, there's going to be another joke that maybe will land better for you. And,
like, yeah, yeah, so, yeah. The hit rate is very good, and some of the just the kind of pratfalls. I just didn't anticipate them, I think, and they were funny because I didn't actually see them coming.
Like the general broad kind of strokes, you can kind of see coming often.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right, there's lots of little gags and pratfalls and stuff that are less expected.
Yeah, and it's a sort of thing, though, if you saw like a 3-minute clip of, and you saw the wrong 3-minute clip, it would look just super cheesy.
Yeah, like Benny Hill or something.
Exactly.
But lots of running around.
yeah, because that's sort of what I thought it might be, at least from my recollection of seeing it from before. So yeah, I liked the sets and the props. I thought they were cool.
Yeah, they were cool. Particularly the time machine was great. And obviously it had all been built, I don't mean as a real time machine, but I mean like all the parts sure. moved and like everything kind of worked together. Right? It wasn't just a static prop.
Yeah.
Which was fun. All the apartments seem to have their own kind of visual identity. A lot of it seemed quite sparse, but I don't know if that was just because that was what Soviet flats looked like.
I think...
I imagine they looked cleaner in that film than most of it. So that was apart from that tiny bit of graffiti, like everything was super clean and neat.
Yes, one of the things I noticed is because quite a lot happens of them just coming into the apartment building...
Mm.
Just thinking, the stairwells do not look that nice. Admittedly, this is 1970s, and I was living in those sorts of buildings 40 years later, so they've had a lot of time to go downhill, whereas some of these would probably have been relatively new builds, like, 60s, so they'd be like 10 years old, but whatever. They typically did not look that nice. But I thought it was surprisingly satirical in places. It's not like hard satire, but just taking the mickey out of that kind of really officious, you know, doing everything by the book thing, because they, you know, modern day Ivan is made out to be really silly.
Yes, that's true. And like you were saying, he sort of seems to act as the kind of building. I imagined, I got the impression, I don't know whether it was stated, that he lived in the same building and was just like the sort of community guy for that building that was charged with.
Yeah, no, I think he was literally next door.
Oh, okay.
Because you see, his wife the balcony. Yeah.
So he did live in there and he was just charged. But I don't know whether was he officially charged
with kind of
maintaining it and bossing people around, or was he just the kind of person that has...
just a busybody.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar enough with how the setup of urban life in the Soviet Union worked to know for sure. But it could be either. But I got the impression that he was officially like the manager of that apartment block and just lived there as well. But I don't know whether that's how things worked. So, Russian listeners, I know there are some of you.
Yeah, it felt like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he wasn't walking around with, like, hammer and sickle badges on his shirt, so...
No, which...
Like, he wasn't, like, an official...
Yeah.
Communist official.
Yeah. Another thing I liked was the music.
Yeah, very much so. I thought the use of it was really good to propel the scenes and some of the changes. Although the bit at the end kind of reminded me a little bit of the Holy Grail or whatever. Suddenly there's a bit of modern kind of music from a medieval kind of band. But it was really fun.
And there were some cool bits of attention to detail. Like they had... So there was this portrait on the wall, which is a 19th century one, of Ivan the Terrible having just murdered one of his sons in an argument. And it's, I think it's Ilya Repin.
Okay.
So they have that on the wall in Shurik's apartment, which is quite funny, because you occasionally have Ivan the Terrible looking at it and going,
Yeah, I wasn't clear whether that was meant to give Ivan the idea of murdering his son. Like, I don't know whether there was meant to be some kind of loop there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can read it different ways.
Yeah, it was, certainly wasn't emphasised. You didn't see him kill his son or anything. So.
No. And another little bit, they had... I'm pretty sure that this was what it was. Right at the beginning, you have Shurik multitasking. He's working on his time machine. He's also vacuuming watching the TV, and they're showing Sergei Eisenstein's Ivan the Terrible. So it's a little it's a little bit of a foreshadowing of what we're going to be getting into. So I like that detail as well.
That vacuum cleaner was cool as well. Like pearlescent plastic.
Mm.
Yeah, it was shiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, just looking at that, if you didn't know anything about the Soviet Union, judging from this film, you go, that's probably quite a nice place to live.
Yeah, you probably would, actually, like, apart from the overly officious neighbours.
Yeah.
Not that you don't get those in capitalist societies either, but...
No.
Yeah, actually looks all right.
Yeah, which, again, probably, like, on a day-to-day basis, if you lived in Moscow, it probably was, you know, a pretty... okay place to live a lot of the time, at least in the 70s. I think the 60s and 70s were probably like the best time to live in the Soviet Union,
post Stalin, pre kind of
the economy, like,
yeah,
80s going down,
kind of collapse, yeah,
the toilet, yeah, exactly, yeah. So this is kind of like the high point. But yeah, it was really fun, and I very much recommend it.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's available on YouTube, we discovered.
Yes.
Fairly legally, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think it's been uploaded by the studio, so
It looked pretty official.
Yes.
Good quality, etc.
Yeah.
But in fact, I thought that held out really well. I mean, I'm sure it was a good transfer, but really beautifully, like, colours and vivid and, yeah, really nice.
Yeah. And it's especially impressive that it's a foreign comedy from that long ago, because comedy doesn't tend to date well. Comedy that's from somewhere else often it doesn't translate just because you'll be required, you know, reliant on local knowledge to get some of the jokes. So, I mean, yeah, it's quite broad and that helps.
Yeah, it does. I think that was that added to my surprise of, like, oh, I'm not expecting to find this that funny. Like, I found it a lot funnier than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess part of that is that there's some of it's, because some of the comedy is physical, which is obviously much more easy. It's not really much of a cultural thing, so much physical comedy.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah. I feel like I should have mentioned this earlier on, but never mind. Mm. But it's almost like a Russian tourist board thing, because you see lots of very cool Russian, I guess, early modern / late medieval churches and fortresses and stuff.
Oh, yeah, when they're back in the past.
Yeah. So you, I think it was shot in Rostov, which is not that far away from Moscow, which, annoyingly, I never got around to visiting. But, just seeing all that architecture is super cool as well in the background.
Yeah, it was great. It didn't look... I guess it wasn't really a soundstage, most of it. Was the throne room? I feel like maybe the throne room was a set.
I suspect it was.
It just felt a bit kind of isolated in that way where you're like, there's nothing outside of this room. All the outside scenes and the running around and all the guards and everything, yeah.
And going along, really cool. Along the rooftops and just having that stuff in the background.
A little beautiful. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, one of the best jokes, or just the most unexpected jokes, I'm not going to say what it is, comes when they're doing the rooftop chase.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but we'll leave you that one for you to discover.
Yeah.
Right, well, I think we've covered this pretty well.
Yeah, just a really enjoyable, like, light-hearted...
Knockabout,
yeah, comedy, fun. And different to, well, most of the other Russian films that I've ever seen.
So... Yes! and definitely a lighter one than nearly everything we've covered so far. I think, of everything, it's been, like, the most just straight up, this is funny.
Yeah, and also that's not, like... Those kind of films aren't ones that I often just choose to watch myself, so...
Same.
Refreshing just to, like, sit down and watch something that was just silly fun.
Which, I guess, ties us back in with Back to the Future and...
Bill and Ted.
And Ted.
Yeah.
It definitely deserves to be, you know, ranked among them in time travel, comedy...
Yeah, I feel like it was a bit more Bill and Ted in that I think Back to the Future has elements of... It's not like a serious film, but it has elements of, like... I'd say it's more... It's probably a better film.
Yeah, and you can say there's...
a film. Yeah.
And you can maybe say there's elements of social commentary in there as well.
Yeah, perhaps, in a way that maybe that isn't in Bill and Ted, except you should be excellent to each other. Which you should. And party on, dudes. Exactly. So yeah.
All right.
Much better than Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Hot take. No, it's not really now, is it? Wayne's World has not aged very well.
No. Well, I think maybe Bill and Ted hasn't, but I haven't seen it for so long. Sorry, sacrilege. I know. So write in which has aged best of those things.
I know my answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need to know yours.
Do.
Right. So thank you very much, Lynn, for being my guest once
You're
more.
You're welcome.
And be excellent to each other. And das svidaniya, folks.
Bye.
Hello again. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Roost Files Unite podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. So, there's a couple of different ways you can do that. There's a Roost Files Unite Facebook group you can join. We're on Twitter, @RoostFilesU. That's Roost Files with the letter U at the end. We're on Instagram, @RoostFiles_Unite. And you can also email RoostFilesUnite@gmail.com. Also, if you can spare a couple of minutes to rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, that will help other people hear about the show and would be very much appreciated. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye.
подруга, семиструнная вся душа, полна тобой, а ночь такая лунная и... Ciao!